worship, a day to come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, a day to come together as companions in Christ. We are very thankful for our fathers. We are more thankful for our Heavenly Father. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds, that we will see and understand, as we should, what we're about to read and look at here. It has often been misinterpreted. I am thankful for the archaeology that we have today that has unearthed and uncovered a lot of things that really shed light on the Word of God. Father, I thank you that we are light and we are salt. I thank you that we have that privilege and that honor of living our lives for you. Actually, you living your life in us and through us. To bring about Christ's likeness, establish healing from a Christian perspective and viewpoint in this world that we live in. We thank you for the truth of God's Word and the reality of God's Word. It is absolute in both cases. I pray that you will bless everyone here, that we will leave this place after this service more informed, more responsible, more knowledgeable in who we are and how God sees us and what God can enable us to do if we will only submit to Him, be obedient to His Word. We thank you for loving us the way that you do. I thank you for weddings and I thank you for funerals. To see two couples come together, two people come together to begin a new family unit. Being a light for the Lord, being salt for Him, and then the funeral. There is life after death. Heaven is for real. So is hell. And I pray as times get tougher, Christianity is more persecuted and assaulted, that we will have enough of the Word of God in us to make the stand we're called to make, to speak the words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That we will face any and everything that Satan throws at us. And we will stand as long as we must and fight as long as we must by His strength and power. I thank you for what is before us. Please give us the understanding that is needed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. You'll notice the title, "Why Candlesticks." Candlesticks. I have heard this was candlesticks from many who have preached it, but actually it is nowhere close to a candlestick. Let's begin with the introduction. When we see Jesus face to face, we will all finally be transformed into His image. Free from all imperfections, just as He is. But until then, Jesus will keep working as the great refiner. And don't ever forget that. He's always going to be working in your life and my life as a child of God to bring about Christ's likeness, to bring about maturity, for us to be that reflection that we are called to be. One day we will fully reflect the Lord Jesus Christ as His bride. Jesus will keep working, that is progressive sanctification, as the great refiner, washing us Remember, it's not a bird bath, it's a bath. Wash me all over till I am covered. And also wash me on the inside all over till the Word of God fills me and there is nothing left of me in my life. Washing us with the water of His Word and allowing the Holy Spirit's fire. Notice the word allowing means it won't be automatic. It will be by your will. It will be something you choose. Motivated by love for Christ, I wish to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wish to be motivated by the Holy Spirit. I want Him to be my divine enabler. So I will become more like Jesus Christ every day, more usable in the spiritual realm that I am now in as a child of the living God. To burn away the dross, I did not say this last time we talked about this, but there are things in us that you and I cannot see. There are things in us that you and I do not know about that are not pleasing unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He knows that as He is all seeing. So therefore, there are things that must be brought out of our lives that we know nothing about so we can be more acceptable in His sight. To burn away the dross and make us the light, He has called us to be in the world. I've heard some Christians say, am I light? Yes. Am I salt? The answer is yes. But the question is, then what kind of light am I? What kind of salt am I? Am I the kind of light that exposes that which is untrue and false and not biblical? Am I the kind of salt that Jesus Christ can count on filling me with the Word of God, knowing I am full of spiritual preservation, always reserving the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, always keeping them where they belong in my Christian life? Look at verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And after turning, I, John, saw seven golden, what does that say? Lampstands. Now, don't make fun of my drawing, please. It looks like a seed tick that has become pregnant, but I assure you that's not what it is. Now, I want you to imagine something, if you will. This is a view from the top of a lampstand. This is a lamp. Doesn't look like a candle, does it? It's about 1 inch thick. And it's very amazing to learn what this is all about. So you have the wick, that's explained. You have where all is poured in. So let's begin to look at this and get an understanding of it that is biblical. The word candlesticks gives us a mental impression of wax candles, such as we use today. However, in the first century, there were no wax candles, because such candles weren't invented until many years later. So I want you to get the proper view of what he's really talking about. Look at the word candlesticks. If you look this word up in the Greek language, it is luknos. Luknos. Number one, this word only refers to an all-burning lamp, the primary source of man-made light used in New Testament times. A. This type of lamp was hand-fashioned from clay. What does that say? Every individual lamp was different. What does that say to you and what does it say to me right now standing in front of you? Every one of us that have accepted Christ are individually different. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have one Word, written Word, that is the Word of the living God. Go back to it, please. This word only refers to an all-burning lamp, so get that in your mind. The primary source of man-made light used in New Testament times. This type of lamp was hand-fashioned from clay. What were you made out of? Dirt. Dirt, clay, something very similar. Also, if you haven't written it down, write again. Each lamp was individually made. Each lamp was individually made. As we are individual human beings, and we are individual human beings in the body of Christ. So therefore, if we're all individually made, we have different personalities. We're going to respond to things in different ways. And if we don't know that and understand it, what are we going to do? We're going to criticize because you don't see it the way I see it. You don't think about it the way I think about it. And therefore, we have arguments in the Baptist church. And if we're not careful, because we don't understand the individualism that we are as Christians in the body of Christ, because you don't see it like I do, then we're going to stand up and we're going to go toe to toe with one another, and we're going to have an argument that is going to hurt, an argument that is going to separate, and an argument that can cause people to leave the church that they have loved so much and attended so long. So we need to remember we are individuals in the body of Christ. And Christ many times deals with us individually. He deals with us corporately, and He also deals with us in individual ways. What degree, what level of growth are you on at the moment? From 1 to 10, how would you rate your spiritual growth in Jesus Christ? Say you're maturing rapidly in the Word of God, but there's some in the church that are not maturing as rapidly as you are. Therefore, when you get together to discuss things, you're going to see them a whole lot differently. And the one who is a little more immature, but still growing in the Word of God, is going to make some statements sometime that are hard to take and hard to understand. And you kind of want to stomp your feet and really get with them and make that correction. Let me say this to you. See them as an individual Christian. Made, put together by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you and I ever come together in a meeting and we need to make a decision, what needs to happen before that meeting? We've got to pray. God, help us to relate to one another. We realize we're going to come together, but we're all going to be individuals. Some of us are more into the Word of God. Some of us have more faith. Some of us have more perspective, more reality in us as God's people. And therefore, we see things in a deeper way, with a lot stronger faith. And then you have those that are just the opposite. They don't have the strong faith that you do. They're not bathed in the Word of God. They have only taken bird baths up until this time. So therefore, they're going to speak more from a human standpoint and a human viewpoint. And you're going to speak with divine viewpoint, with spiritual perspective, being led by the Holy Spirit. If you and I are not careful, Satan loves to come in a situation that is like that. And he wants to create chaos. He wants to separate the church we have here at Hainesville Baptist Church. So what I'm telling you is no one is really above the other. You may excel in learning the Word of God, and you may excel in your faith. And then there are others that are not excelling in faith in the Word of God. But brother, when you see them as your brother and sister in Christ, and you see them as companions, we may be individuals, but we are also connected by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are blood brothers, and we are blood sisters. And therefore, that never changes. It is non-negotiable. So therefore, learn. Yes, we are individuals, but we are one in Jesus Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All right, back to the printout. A, under candlesticks. This type of lamp was hand-fashioned from clay and was small enough to be carried in the palm of one's hand. Can I say this? You and I are individuals. We understand that now. But if we are brothers in Christ, if we are related, you are carrying me and I am carrying you. Do you understand that? All right. Back to the printout. Every first century building, from the smallest house to the greatest palace, depended on all burning lamps to provide light. Now, before you turn, what must we depend on if there's going to be all burning lights at Hainesville Baptist Church? It is not human performance. It is the Holy Spirit having His way in every believer of Jesus Christ. Go to page 2 at the top of that page. Because these all-burning lamps were made of clay, they were very fragile. Stop there. Please underline the word fragile. I am fragile. You are fragile. That's the way God made us. And once we learn that, we will relate to one another in a whole different way. I don't want to break you. There's a lamp in my hand. There's a lamp in the hands of Jesus Christ. There's a lamp in my hand as a child of God. My brother and my sister is also in my hands. We are joined together. We're holding each other's lamp that is very, very fragile. And I don't want to do anything to you to break the lamp. If I break the lamp, there's no more light. How many Christians have lost their light because somebody broke them as a lamp? I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and hear Him say, Terry, you broke this man. You broke this woman. And when they were broken, they never regained light. They never regained salt. Do you see the responsibility that we have as children of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm holding you. Jesus Christ is holding you. And brother, we are all fragile. And if we squeeze one another too hard, or if we drop you or throw you down out of anger, and the lamp is going to break, and the oil is going to spill, and you have to say, oh my gosh, the light this person had is now gone. And I'm responsible for the light that is no longer shining in their life. They're no longer salt anymore. Why? Because we disagreed and I thought I had to let them know how smart I was. And therefore, forgive me for that person that is now shattered, that has no more light in the lamp. There should never be anything take place at Hainesville Baptist Church that will break the light of your brother and sister in Christ. Often they were so brittle. If it's so brittle, be careful. Don't get shaken, Pat. If you're so brittle, then do I not have to be careful how I handle you? I want your light to so shine before men that they see the power of the Holy Spirit manifested and they learn about the glory of Almighty God. And where that light is, not only does it shine bright, but it also sets a reflection. Be light. Be that reflection of the glory of Almighty God, but learn in the process how fragile you are and how fragile people are. Remember, Jesus Christ died for people, and people are a priority in the kingdom of God. They were so brittle that they could be broken by the mere squeeze of a hand. I just heard words coming out. They go like this. Teach me, Terry. Help mold me, Terry. Lead me, Terry. Guide me. Help me with the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, which we're commanded to be filled with all the time. It's a repeated feeling. It is something that you and I must have to live the Christian life successfully and do the work of God by the power of God, that what? That the glory of God be manifested and the Holy Spirit's power be manifested. Say it. It's not about human performance. It's not about what I think, what I push through, what I can do in my own body, my own strength, or my own mind. It's all about Jesus doing His thing in the life and through the life of the child of the living God. When people come into Hainesville Baptist Church, what should hit them in the face is the manifested power of the Holy Spirit, leading them to understand and see the glory of God in the people of God that are here, the glory of God in the music we sing, and the glory of God in the written word that we read and present. Therefore, anyone carrying one of these lamps had to be careful not to break it. The next time you want to open your mouth and get rough with somebody, don't let the devil take it and run with it. You say, Holy Spirit, remind me right now how fragile this person is that I'm talking to. And if I'm not very careful, I may break the lamp and he'll lose the light. Therefore, anyone carrying one of these lamps had to be careful not to break it, spill the oil, and lose the light that the lamp provided. Question. Why did Jesus use these lamps to symbolically depict the church of Jesus Christ? Because the church is comprised of what? Fragile, imperfect human beings. That's why I brag on this church and say, if you want to come with your hair down to here and in earrings in your nose and everywhere else you're able, I don't care. You come into this church and we will welcome you and we will love you and we will hug your neck and we will be glad to teach you the Word of God and help you grow in the Word of God as we are growing together. And remember, we're all fragile, imperfect human beings. Now hang on to that statement. Who would have ever imagined that God would put His Spirit in a vessel so fragile? Yeah, it took me a little while to get past that because the tears got in my eyes and I couldn't read anymore. God, I am so fragile. so fragile. Help me understand how you could put the Holy Spirit in his fragile body. Or in a church made up of human beings who are so imperfect. I hear this all the time. Terry, if I come to your church, what do I wear? I said, I don't care what you wear. It's not about what you wear, it's what's in your heart. I said, you can wear your overalls. I don't care. Well, do you dress up? I said, no, the only reason I dress up is for the Lord's Supper. But that is precisely what he did. You would have thought he would have put the Holy Spirit in the most beautiful temple made. Here's the point. God chose the church as his primary instrument for giving his light to a dark world. Now, is it all making sense? I don't want to be responsible for putting your light out. Because God's counting on you to live with your light on. Matthew 5:14-16. You want to underline the word you and put your name? Because it's you. You are the light. Underline the word light. Amazing. You are the truth. You are a path of righteousness. Did you know you're laying down a path and somebody's walking on it? You are a path of righteousness. That's how strong that light is. It's how revealing, how exposing. You are truth. You're the truth of the Word of God. You're a path of righteousness. You are knowledge that enlightens the mind. You're light. You have that responsibility. In our fragile bodies, there is the Holy Spirit who says, please let me establish the truth of God in your life that you may lay down a path of righteousness. You are knowledge that enlightens the mind. You are healing. So let's put it all together. Who are you? You're the truth of God. You're a path of righteousness. You are knowledge that enlightens the mind. You are healing. You're fragile. We need healing as the light shines. You are declaring. You are demonstrating. You are light. And so the question is, what kind of light? What kind of truth are you out there speaking? What kind of path are you laying down? What kind of knowledge are you passing on? What kind of healing do you bring to your people? You are the light of Christ to the world. The word world means the inhabitants of the earth. You know what that tells me? There's only one light in this world. And it says, you, the only light, are the light of all the inhabitants of the world. Anything else outside of Christianity is damned and doomed and is not good. It is not acceptable. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set. Underline the word set, please. The word set means placed. Guess what? When you were saved, God set you somewhere. If you are a father today, God has set you in a home. He has set you in a family. He has set you in a position that you let the light of God shine. and reveal the things of Almighty God and reveal His Word and reveal the power of God at work and reveal the love of Almighty God. You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds. Let me tell you something. Don't misinterpret this. It's not your good human deeds. It is the goodness produced by the Holy Spirit that is turned into good deeds. I don't want you to think your goodness will get you into heaven. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence, all being produced by the Holy Spirit in the yielded believer, and recognize and honor and glorify your Father. Underline that phrase, glorify your Father. It means believers' lifestyles must bring glory and honor to God. Believers' lifestyles must bring glory and honor to God. Who is in heaven? These earthen lamps contain oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. For the oil in these ancient lamps to provide light, a wick was required. The wick, as inserted into the mouth of the lamp and ran deep into its base. Did you get that? Deep. Deep. How deep does the Holy Spirit run in your life? Back to the printout. Where it became saturated with oil. When the wick was then lit, it would burn and give light for many hours or even days before the lamp needed to be refilled again. And the Holy Spirit slapped me with Ephesians 5:18. Is this not Ephesians 5:18? It had to be repeated. There you go. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just any spirit, and constantly guided by Him. I have a few notes you don't understand at the moment because you don't have them. Please listen. Look at that phrase, do not get drunk. You might want to write this down. Alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol is a depressant. Secondly, it is also a life of missed opportunities. Don't get drunk with wine. Don't get under its influence. You'll miss a whole lot of opportunities out there in life. As believers, volitionally, receive Christ, that is an act of the will, for salvation, they must volitionally and repeatedly open themselves to the Holy Spirit's ongoing daily guidance and control. Look at that next phrase. But be filled with the Spirit. That's a present passive imperative. It means so the Holy Spirit can manifest His power. There's only one power we need to see here, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not human performance power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? Because the Holy Spirit's power is the power of God at work. Is there anything the power of God can't do? Is the power of God limited? No, it is unlimited. Let me ask you something. I know you'll get this right, Paul. So therefore, you would rather see the power of God at work at Hainesville Baptist Church. Is that correct? Yes. Would you like to see God heal if He chooses to? Yes. Would you like to see God bring about what you and I cannot bring about if He chooses to? Would you like to live with the power of God in your life or the power of human performance? Thank you. So the Holy Spirit can manifest His power, so spiritual opportunities will not be missed. If you're living your life motivated by the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit being your divine enabler, will you miss spiritual opportunities? No, you will not. For He will know every spiritual opportunity in your life that will come the next day, that night, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He's guiding you. He's directing you. Brother, I promise you, your life will be filled with spiritual opportunities, and with spiritual opportunities will come spiritual fulfillment. You see, alcohol is a depressant. The Holy Spirit is a stimulant. This is a command, be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. Now, what does that mean? It means if I do not pray to be filled with the Spirit every day, I have committed a sin. Did you know it's a sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The reason it is a sin, because without being filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot live a life pleasing unto God. So this is a command. It's not an option. This is the normal state for all believers, not the exception. This means believers are to be available, sensitive, and obedient. Can you do that? You can do it where you sit. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I choose to be available. I choose to be sensitive. I choose to be obedient to the Spirit, to the Spirit's forming of Christ in my daily life. Question, can believers fill themselves? Can believers motivate themselves? The answer is no. Do you see why Ephesians 5:18 is a command and not an option? Believers must allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom and influence. Human performance is not the key to effective living. The Holy Spirit is the key to effective spiritual living. We must open ourselves to the Holy Spirit's leadership and control. Then look at that word filled. The word filled means influence me, please. Motivate me, please. I choose your divine enablement to live by. May it be in my life, please. You see, believers have a choice as to what motivates and fills their lives. This is daily intentional submission to the Holy Spirit producing Christ-likeness as it relates to dealing with people. I'll say this again. Jesus died for people. People are priority. People are eternal. Back to the printout very quickly. Each believer must allow his or her heart to become soaked in the oil before the church can shine God's light into His world as He intended it to. Here's the point. Remember, one infilling of God's Spirit may last for a while, but soon there must be a fresh infilling. This can only happen as believers allow the Holy Spirit. Notice it's not automatic. It is volitional. You must make a choice of the will. And I promise you the Holy Spirit will be there to help you make that choice. Believers allow the Holy Spirit to drench their spirits in time of private fellowship with the Lord. This is the way God has designed the church to shine forth His light, penetrate a world of darkness, and set people free. You're not a candlestick. You're a lamp. And that oil in you is very precious. And what that oil produces in the life of the submissive believer is extremely precious. It's called light. Truth. A path of righteousness. A knowledge of the Word of God that can be passed on. Do you see what an honor and a privilege it is to be a Christian in the body of Christ? Now are you getting it? Who you are? How fragile you are and how fragile I am? And you don't want to be guilty of causing some other Christian to lose his light. Because the Holy Spirit produced it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God that is absolute truth and absolute reality, that sheds light on everything we need to know and do. It is a light that shines on our path of righteousness that we are to lay down and walk. Righteousness that has come from Jesus Christ for the child of God to understand that righteousness and let the world see His light and let the world know He is salt. He has been saved to shine. He has been saved to preserve. Oh, what a responsibility we have to hold our fragile brothers and sisters in our hands. Let us never be guilty of breaking that lamp and losing the light that comes forth from it. In Jesus'